Santa Community Service District Board of Directors regular meeting of Wednesday, July 25th. May I have the roll call, please?
Director Angeles?
Here.
Vice President Austin?
Here.
President White?
Here. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Flag salute.
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Moving on to the agenda review. Got any changes?
No.
Ms. Gassiola, Ms. Ogren, no changes? Do I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 3-0. Moving on, closed session. We need to call for a public comment. Seeing no one in the audience to come forward, move on.
Okay, the
Madam
board
Counselor.
Will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A. This is a conference with legal counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus the City of Santa Maria et al. Item 5B, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D2, conference with district legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation. There is one matter to be discussed.
Okay. Move on to closed session. Call the meeting back to order at 6:05. May I have a report out of closed session, please?
The report out is that there is no reportable action on item 5A or 5B.
Thank you. Move on to item 6, public comment on items not on the agenda. Public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Thank you. If anybody would like to come forward on just general non-on-the-agenda items.
Hi. Darcy Battiali from The Place. Not sure if we're on the agenda tonight or not. Okay, so should I just wait? Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Darcy.
Cynthia Replogle with the Oceano Beach Community Association. Just wanted to give you an update on the plans for Coastal Cleanup Day cleanup at AG Creek. We got conditional permission from some of the property owners who were at the Zone 1 and 1A meeting last week to do the cleanup along the creek, but the county is working on at least notifying all the other property owners. And once we get that done, which should be another week or so, we should have a green light to proceed, and then I'll be working with you to get a dumpster out there. And one of the concerns was to make sure it was picked up very soon, and Pavo assured me that it could be so. Hopefully that will be confirmed fairly soon, and we can go forward. Thank you.
Coastal Cleanup is when?
Coastal Cleanup Day is September 15th. It's an international day of cleaning up the coastal areas and waterways.
Thank you. Anyone else? I guess we can move on to item 7, special presentations and reports. Let's start with Tony Maraschino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maraschino. All right. Samples, daily rounds. Work order 7, 6 USAs, 5 customer service calls. We had one after-hours call out. That was for a turn-on after we had lock-offs, turn-offs. Meter reading was last week. We also had some coordination regarding the dewatering of the bridge, and that's all finally got straightened out. Everything's going really well over there. The bridge is completely removed, and also the pilings have been removed from the lagoon. So it's moving along really well. We had door hangers. Quite a bit of trash we've been picking up. Boosters, both boosters at the booster station that were down. They are back up and running and fixed. Everything's going really well with all that. Some weed abatement. We're basically meter reads, and it took up quite a bit of time. Got one guy out for 2 weeks on vacation, so give him a little bit of time off. Any questions?
Any questions?
Nope.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't see Chief Liebram, but I know there's been no major fires, so move on to General Manager Ogren, please.
Madam President, board members, other than the agenda items today, a couple updates on other efforts. So Tony mentioned the work that's being done on Airport Drive Bridge, and included in that was in early efforts, as Tony previously reported, our force main had been broken and there was a sewer system overflow into the lagoon within the contained area of where the pylons and the dewatering activities are occurring. As a result of that, though, the regional board is requiring the county to dewater to the sanitation district as opposed to putting the water back into the lagoon. The county requested and I provided a reimbursement agreement so that they could discharge into our collection system. And as part of that agreement, we also, in working with legal counsel, incorporated the county's responsibility to reimburse us for our costs associated with responding to the sewer system overflow, including the cost of the contractor to go out there and make the repairs. Some of those costs are in the AP agenda today that are being paid. But in any case, the good news there was that we were able to accommodate the county to help them with their discharges and their dewatering, and the county was also agreeable to reimbursing us for the costs that we incurred associated with our broken pipeline. So that's essentially helped to really resolve the issue well. I'm anticipating that reimbursement agreement is going to be assigned by the county to the contractor, and that way it can get folded into the normal project activities. My understanding is that Caltrans has already approved the change order for the work that was necessary, and as part of making sure that the county gets its reimbursements from Caltrans, they need to get it incorporated into contractor costs. So again, I'm expecting that reimbursement agreement to be assigned from the county to the contractor, and I'll give you an update at the next board meeting.
Thank you.
Also, we have notification from the county that they're going to be repaving several roads within the community next year as part of their 2019 road overlay project. Separately, we also have some requests in from Caltrans, because it appears that Caltrans, whether it's in 2019 or 2020, I'm not sure yet, but they're going to be doing an extensive overlay project on Highway 1, stretching all the way through Oceano, through Grover, through Pismo Beach, Shell Beach. I can't remember the full extent of the limits of Caltrans repaving it of Highway 1, but they're also getting set up for an extensive project. And the reason why I bring it to your board's attention at this point in time is that the county's overlay project is going to include some roads where we have some significantly antiquated, some real old pipes. We have 1-inch and 2-inch galvanized pipes. And so I'm putting together plans to seek to replace those pipes prior to the county's overlay project. That's important because normally when we're in the county roads and digging trenches, we have to repair the roads under what's called a T-cut approach. But without getting into that detail, if they've repaved a road within 5 years of when we go to do a line repair, then the normal T-cut repairs that we have to do no longer apply. We actually have to repave the entire lane of traffic because it's brand, relatively new asphalt, and if we're going to go in and cut it up, then Their standards are to repair the lane of traffic in which the cut occurred. Much more significant asphalt costs in those situations. So it's really going to behoove us to try to get our 1-inch and 2-inch lines replaced. And I think it's feasible within our current reserves. And I mentioned it to you that was going to be a likely upcoming agenda item. And then lastly, we have been working with SEIU Local 620 in terms of the the employee MOU, the union MOU expired on June 30th. I anticipate that will be on your agenda for your board's consideration at your next meeting. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
The idea would be to get those pipes in before they pave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that if we act pretty promptly here, we should be able to do that.
Gee, could we do it the week before so that they would just do the paving for us? You can't get that close, I'm sure.
Well, the discussions with the County Road Department, we've definitely identified that issue, that if we can do the repaving just prior to them do our pipeline replacement project just prior to them doing the repaving, then it might actually minimize some of our costs because we may not have to do full-blown, repaving normally. But that's to be determined. That's a hope that we're going to pursue.
Do you know what major roads that might be?
They are doing portions of 22nd. They're doing the entirety of 22nd Street. That's their plan right now. We don't have any deficient pipelines in that stretch of road. But then there's a number that are near the lagoon area.
Okay.
And again, I'll bring those back at a future date.
Okay. I just was curious.
Yeah, I hesitate a little bit only on identifying them because I've been doing some measuring, and there is a possibility that are some may be in close proximity to property owned by board members. We only have 3 members of the board right now, so I also have to be careful.
Yeah.
If we run into potential, I might have to delay bringing it to the board until we have more than 3 members.
Thank you. Sure. And Caltrans doing Highway 1, is there any nexus between that and the 13th and Highway 1 project, or are they going to do it and then do it again? Or
I would anticipate that Caltrans is going to move forward with their repaving project, because there's still too much uncertainty on when the county might be able to implement the revitalization project.
Well, yeah, I was thinking the 13th and Highway 1 flooding project.
Well, yeah, hopefully I will bring that up in the discussions that I have with the county, because the county right now is intending to go out to bid on the drainage project this fall. As one of our agenda items coming up, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. So maybe we'll just pause on that thought and cover it as part of the agenda. I think it's agenda item 9C.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to Board of Directors. Director Angelo.
I have nothing.
Director Austin.
So you did the sentence you want to do.
Oh.
Do you want me to do the advisory council? Or
yeah. Go
or
ahead.
Do you want to do that in the...
See,
there
was zone 1 and sanitation.
You want to do that? Okay, well.
Go ahead and do advisory.
Okay, I'll do the Oceana Advisory Council. We had our meeting on Monday, and Supervisor Compton came and gave us an update on the budget, and just was there to answer questions and talk to us a little bit. And we had 2 referrals on the agenda that have been postponed till next month, which the meeting will be August 27th. Monday at 4 p.m. here, and one is for a cannabis non-storefront delivery service, and it'll be located at 1151 Pike Lane, and then the other one is the flood control district, the county. They are applying for their permit to clean the debris and the growth from the creek. Something that's been, I think Karen can.
Yeah.
Add on to that with the Zone 11A. So if you're interested in either of those 2, you can go our websites, oceanoadvisorycouncil.org, and all the referrals are on there, and our next agenda will be on the website, too, so you can go in there and see what's coming up. I don't. Was there anything else?
No. And I can go on with the creek. The National Marine Fisheries has issued a permit for the county to clean the sediment out of the creek. There is a link to within 4 years after that, they have to do studies, a rather large comprehensive study on Meadow Creek and the lagoon, and you want to add a little more to that. But I was going to add, and the other thing is they have the goats are now in the cleaning out the creek channel in the most environmentally smart way we can do it.
President White, my only thought was this is a long time coming in terms of National Marine Fisheries Service's permits to move forward. And it's the county's waterway management program, and I'm at a loss right now for the technical name of it, but it includes a number of different activities, including increasing the height of the levees on the northern side to provide additional protection for the community. It includes, you know, a lot of work within the creeks itself. And it might be a good idea just throw it out there for the county to come as a public information presentation to come to CSD, do a little presentation on what they're working on. I see it as not a whole lot different than when Ben Fine of Pismo Beach came and did a presentation on what they're doing for the Recycle Water Project. Good community education opportunity. And since we are working on the local hazard mitigation plan, I think there's a little bit of a tie-in there as well.
I think it would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially, yeah. It's hard to talk about a project that is as significant as that they're talking. And last I knew, it was over a $6 million project.
Yeah.
It's a hard a little bit to talk about when it's in the conceptual and you're still waiting for permits and everything. But since they've gotten the permit from NIMS, and that was the final big permit they needed to get, they probably can develop more certainty on scheduling and what they're going to be doing. And so it would be nice now that it's appearing to be real and foreseeable to maybe have them come out and do a presentation.
Yeah, and one of the things that came up at the Zone 1A, I think it would be wonderful. One of the things that came up at the Zone 1A is a suggestion that I thought was kind of interesting. Central Coast Blue, if they're going to operate at the sanitation plant and run a pipeline inland to put water back in the basin, why don't they run the pipeline down the north bank of the Roy Grande Creek, raise the levee about 3 feet to accommodate the pipeline? And I thought that was talking off. You know, I thought it was a pretty good idea. I don't know if it could ever be worked, but...
Well, I think that if Central Coast Blue is truly located at the sanitation district property, the opportunities for ag reuse increase, just to close proximity. Whether conveyance purple pipes are run along the levees or whether they go across 22nd Street and then get right into the ag lands, you know, what's the most appropriate piping plan? I don't know. But certainly if it's at the sanitation district, then those opportunities start to open up.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of off the top of the... And it took 6 years to get that marine fisheries permit, according to...
Which is just good. Those permits have got to be done faster than that, but
yeah.
At least they're getting close.
And most of the stuff at the sanitation board was routine, although they did hire a new auditor. And other than that, everything's moving forward in a timely manner.
Was it Moss Levy?
Yes.
So there are auditors and there are Five Cities Fires auditors. So
yes.
I probably have some good eyes on everything that's going on in the area now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Call for public comment on the reports, special presentations and reports. Any public comments? Okay. Flipping the page, we go on to our consent agenda. What's your pleasure? Oh, yes, public comment on the consent agenda. That's the one I always forget. I'm regular about forgetting it. Seeing no one come forward, what's our pleasure?
I don't have any. I've reviewed them. I'm prepared to make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as presented, A, B, and C.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 3-0. Moving on to business items. Should we take them individually? Yeah. Okay. Starting with 9A, update and discussion on filling of the two board vacancies and providing direction as deemed appropriate. And I'll start with the report from Manager Ogren, General Manager Ogren.
Madam President, members of the board, just have a few comments on this. One thing that we as staff are seeking direction is, do you want to have the special meeting televised with AGP? Carrie contacted them. The meeting would cost about $585, I think was the dollar amount. Yeah. And so that's a question. In some of the circulations or discussions, I've used the word that individuals who are seeking appointment need to be residents of the community. And to be more accurate, I believe it's that they need to be registered voters within the community. And so that was a point of clarification I wanted to make. In the staff report, we indicated that one individual did ask what the job description was for an elected official, which I kind of felt was an interesting question because I'm not sure. I think that elected officials often define their own jobs. We first sent them the bylaws, and then we followed it up, and what's attached here is the government code relating to community services districts. And within that government code, it talks about the roles and responsibilities of the board. You know, it's essentially what we always talk about, which is, you know, the board establishes policies. It's up to staff then to implement. But then there's, you know, some other issues that, you know, a board member cannot be an employee of the district, can't act as the treasurer or the secretary of the district. So. And in any case, I thought that was a good question, and so we wanted to make sure to include the applicable sections of the California Government Code in the agenda item. And then the last point is, what would your board be looking for in individuals? Because when we look through the different code sections and stuff, there's no requirement to provide you with a statement of qualifications or a letter of interest or anything else like that. And yet it would seem that in anybody considering appointing anybody that, you know, you would want to see something like a statement of qualification or a letter of interest or, you know, on that day, are you going to be open to having everybody have, you know, 3 or 5 minutes to talk about why they're interested in an appointment at the special meeting. So that's the framework of the discussion overall. One is really, you know, direction. Do you want AGP video to be here to record and televise the special meeting? And then second is, you know, what you might be looking from interested individuals in terms of submitting anything in writing or other things you might be looking for them to provide.
I would think that they would, it would be nice, I don't know that we can require anything, but it would be nice to have some kind of a letter of interest,
yeah,
explaining why they might, why they would desire to be on the board. And
yeah, it's kind of like how in your minds do you think that the different individuals might put their best foot forward?
Yeah, I would think at least a letter, maybe a letter and a resume.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's not really like a job application.
I think we've done that in the past.
Yeah.
We've had vacancies.
And I guess, again, you know, I don't see it as being a requirement, but people are watching, they're interested in how do they put their best foot forward, and, you know.
Yeah, well, I certainly expect something.
Yeah.
So on the meeting August 2nd, is that, so we won't hear from them until then, and then we make our decision that day? Or is that the day that we hear from everybody and then we?
Yeah, we've set up the special meeting so that it's an opportunity for people to come and present themselves, really. Mm-hmm. And your board would have the ability to make the appointments on that date.
Okay.
Likewise, and what we discussed at our last meeting was that your board can also continue that to your regular meeting in August. If you know on that date, you know, based on everybody who's come forward who you want to appoint, then certainly you're free to do that. Likewise,
do we discuss it openly? Or
yes.
Is it,
okay. Yeah, you discuss it openly. Okay. At the same time, you have the ability to say, you know, I want to think about this. You don't have to make that immediate decision, and you can continue the item or have it put on the would be the August 8th regular meeting.
So August 8th would be the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we wanted to set it up like that so that you had the ability to have some time if you wanted to, you know, really think about what everybody was presenting. And
sounds good. As far as filming, I don't know. I would be fine with just recording the audio.
It's another $500.
Yeah.
$600.
$600.
I think if it's recorded, people that want
to... Yeah. So without a formal motion to record it, then we won't do it. Because we typically don't have AGP here at our special meetings. They're here at all of our regular meetings. So, if you do want them to record, then I would look to a formal motion and action by your board. But lacking that, then we won't invite them.
Yes, let's want to swing into public comment. Public comment?
Yeah, that's right.
Ms. Villa? Sorry, cut.
Yes, I'm Ms. Villa, Aline. And I just wanted to make my public comment statement a strong support for Cynthia to be appointed on your board. She's worked relentlessly. I've never seen anyone work so hard and be so energetic and positive about making changes here in Oceano. As a lifetime resident here in Oceano, I want to see positive change myself, so I strongly support and urge you to accept her. Thank you.
Thank you. Lucia?
Oceano. I also am here to support Cynthia's application. She's very knowledgeable, very capable. She works very hard. She's cooperative. She's compassionate. She has answered all my questions. She has given me extra time to explain and work with me. She has been very interested in Oceano's issues, so I recommend her strongly. Thank you.
Thank you. Cynthia? Ms. Rapogli, I guess I should say. I'm sorry. I just... Feel free to do it now, yeah.
Please consider appointing me to fill one of the two vacancies on the board, preferably for the remainder of former Director Colwell's term. I am an Oceano resident with a strong desire to create positive change in our community for all of our residents. As founder and president of the Oceano Beach Community Association, I'm working with a coalition of residents and business owners to make our town more livable, accessible, and beautiful. The OBCA organizes regular community cleanups, and we are developing a bike map showing safe, non-motorized routes through town. We are also in the process of identifying vacant lots that we hope to develop into park and community garden spaces for the benefit of residents. Additionally, the OBCA seeks to leverage Oceano's recent designation as an opportunity zone to draw investment and revitalize the town, which is a diamond in the rough. Since I became an Oceano homeowner a year ago, I've been increasingly involved in advocating for the community at public meetings of the Oceano Advisory Council, County Board of Supervisors, and the OCSD. Through this involvement and my own research, I am cognizant of the numerous challenges facing Oceano, as well as the opportunities. One of those opportunities is finding grant funding for parks and recreation, which is within the OCSD's limited purview, but currently lacks resources. As a director, I would look for funding to develop community parks, as well as working with all of you to address existing issues, including the Five Cities Fire Authority and water resource planning. My strong desire to improve Oceano is not all I would bring to a seat on the board. I have more than 20 years' experience as an aerospace engineer and more than 5 years' experience as an attorney. I've also volunteered in leadership positions with the Surfrider Foundation since 2003, working for the protection of our ocean waves and beaches. As an engineer, I honed my analytical and problem-solving skills. As an attorney, I understand the nuances of law, evaluating competing interests, and balancing requirements. As a longtime Surfrider volunteer, I demonstrated my commitment to making the world a better place for everyone. You can view my resume on LinkedIn. Additionally, I'm keenly aware that almost half of Oceano's population is of Latin American heritage. I believe that this portion of our community needs to feel welcomed and become more engaged, so I'm brushing up on my high school Spanish and working toward fluency, the better to serve those residents. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, the only action item. Oh, is
any other
else?
Public comment?
I'm sorry, I had the three slips. I didn't. Anyone else? The only action would be if we wanted to have it televised.
Yeah,
I don't think we really need to televise it.
Not the meeting on August 2nd. We can tape it.
Yeah.
I think it's... So I guess we need a motion then.
No, we don't.
No motion's necessary.
Oh, okay.
You know, again, we wanted to make sure to agendize it to be able to open the discussion.
Yeah.
And allow your board to kind of express some of your general expectations or hopes in terms of appointment. I do want to make a quick comment to Cynthia. I'd been out due to housing issues, so I did not have a chance yet to see the email, and so I wasn't sure if you were. If I was supposed to respond and I didn't, then I apologize.
The water heater is fixed.
It is. I hear it's fixed, and other things. So yes. I don't have to use the district showers.
Okay, so I think that's settled, and I think...
So next step is August 2nd, then?
Yes.
Okay.
August 2nd for interviews and maybe selection, maybe not. Okay, moving on to 9B, update and discuss drafting a feasibility agreement with the Placid on PCH? Yeah, I guess it is.
Yes.
PCH.
And provide direction as deemed appropriate.
And Madam President, so place on PCH, we always want to spell out acronyms, but it's actually the name, place on PCH. Now, you know PCH stands for Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't think of Front Street Highway 1, nice. La Cienega being Pacific Coast Highway as well.
Yeah.
It's got three other names.
And so this agenda item today is really seeking your board's support on drafting of a feasibility agreement with the place. Darcy, we'll be just a couple minutes, and then she'll invite everybody up to talk. And the thought here is that we've got a number of different issues that we need to address in order to see whether or not what the place has requested is feasible. One of the items that we've illustrated in here is, would we be required to go out for a request for proposal in order to lease out any of the district-owned property? And since the drafting of the agenda item, legal counsel has looked through that and indicated me that an RFP itself is probably not technically required, but it would really be a subsequent discussion of your board as to whether or not you think it would be good. But at a minimum, in the feasibility agreement, we would want to address, the appropriateness of basically sole sourcing a piece of property for lease. And critical to that would be the issue of how might the property be used in order to forward the district's services. So, for example, to the extent that a proposal would help us provide recreational types of activities, especially for, you know, kids in the community and that type of thing. Then it moves away from a profit-oriented lease and into a lease that is the nature of helping us fulfill our services. So the contrast is Morro Bay, for example, owns a lot of the Embarcadero, and so they lease out, you know, the properties to the various restaurants that are on the Embarcadero. Clearly an effort that, you know, really helps bring in money for the I think it's actually part of the Harbor District, a component of the city of Morro Bay. But funding and what different tenants may be willing to put on the table is going to be critical in that situation. Now, whether Morro Bay provides offers in those situations to the existing tenants based on an evaluation of what the going rate for rental is, you know, is an approach that they might even take there to fall short of doing an RFP because they have an existing tenant and they may want to renew that lease agreement. And part of that general history was, as they've been renewing the lease agreements, they've been trying to enhance public access to the dock shores. But again, the type of a lease that would be definitely different from what we would be looking at with the place, which would be instead to try to further parks and recreational types of services. So how would that work into a feasibility agreement? So that's one example. The other broader category is, what is it that myself and legal counsel need to do to structure an agreement from, you know, a statutory standpoint and what the legal responsibilities are from the district's perspective? And then in contrast, what are the permitting requirements in order to get an occupancy permit from the county? Would the building need to be retrofitted? What would the driveway requirements, or I'm sorry, the parking requirements be? Or what, you know, again, what might be the occupancy needs? So the idea of a feasibility agreement then would be to sort of separate those different tasks. My envision is that legal counsel and I would have to be working on legal mechanics of what would be necessary in a legal agreement, and we would look to the place to work with the county for the purposes of, again, determining what the occupancy requirements would be, earthquake retrofit, parking, whatever it might be. And that way we're kind of split the responsibilities between the district and the place and trying to figure out what needs to be done. On that point of a feasibility agreement, though, as the staff report indicates, the place has submitted a 501c3 application as a nonprofit organization, but they haven't had their paperwork back yet from the state. And so we really have to wait on that in order to be able to execute an actual feasibility agreement. But on a tentative basis, if your board is supportive of that, some sort of an action to show support would be important, in part because if the place is going to, if Darcy and Damon are going to approach the county on the issue of what would it be required to get an occupancy permit, and if they have some sort of board support, you know, in terms of the development of a feasibility agreement once they have their 501c3 together, that might help open the doors at the county. Because county planning and building, you know, the normal permitting, well, submit your permit request and then we'll tell you what's required, right? And we're hoping to avoid, you know, those multiple steps and get straight into a discussion of what county requirements might exist. So some sort of board action in support of a potential feasibility agreement, again, can help open the door to those discussions at the county. I think that those discussions at the county would also have to require Vice President Austin right now is our liaison with Supervisor Compton's office, and we probably have to do some upfront work there as well in order to make sure that county staff, you know, helps us identify what at least the basic requirements are for occupancy and helps the place. So that's the concept, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions? No, I don't quite understand when you said you would, if the district would be required to issue requests for proposals. So we would have to proposals for.
It's the question about would we be required to do that, and I'll so legal counsel has looked into that, and I'll have him then address it.
So my question on this, when this idea initially came up, was this, a lease is a contract. Would this type of a contract fall within the public contract code requirement for competitive bidding? I've determined that it really would not. However, then the question, though, becomes, as a matter of policy, before just choosing the place right out of the gate, determining, and I think that this, it's separate and distinct from the feasibility study, because I think to analyze even a response to a request for a proposal, you'd need to know if what they're proposing is feasible. But an RFP essentially would be, in this case, if you would say, we have this particular building, and this is its current status, and what we are looking for is responses from the community as a whole to see who's got the best idea as far as how to utilize that space. And you know, that, I think, is where it comes in now, as far as not a requirement, but whether or not your board feels that is a beneficial step in your decision-making process.
I have a question. As old as that building is, it's probably going to have to be retrofitted, because you're going to have sprinklers put in, earthquake stuff I don't know about yet. So what is the, how does that get processed through? Is that going to be our cost to incur? Or would that be part of the negotiations on it?
Those are the same kind of questions we have too, and part of it, we got to turn the question about what would your board's expectations be. We know we have limited funding. Our ability to upgrade a facility like that is going to be pretty problematic, considering also, you know, the status of the fiscal affairs of the Five Cities Fire Authority. If extensive work is really required, it might mean that it's simply not feasible. So first step is to go in there and try to figure out what the requirements would be. I think you might hear from Darcy today that he's already lining up supporters. So with a 501c3 designation, would those types of costs, would they be able to be covered through fundraising efforts as well?
Okay.
I would like to hear about parking and what the plans are for that.
Yeah,
requirements, but maybe you can. Is there going to be a need for a lot more parking because of this?
Oh, yeah.
Is it going to generate more vehicles because we don't have parking? I mean, can you use that property next door for parking? You make parking there?
You know, on the surface, it would seem like that would be feasible. What I don't know is whether or not any of that was dedicated for drainage off the sheriff's building, because we know we have a drain pipe that comes there. What would we be required to do? Would we have to redo drainage, or how would we have to get that covered? So,
I guess it would depend on what the county's requirements are.
Yeah, it could very well.
Was that section behind there, was that used for the fire department guys for training or anything prior?
The property between the old fire station and the sheriff's building, where we have well number 8. Yeah, the Five Cities Fire does do some training there. That's still just subject to the availability of the space. So once the district, your board, identifies a higher and better use for that piece of property, then Five Cities Fire might have to find training at another location.
Okay. Want to hear from Darcy?
Yeah.
Darcy, would you like to come forward?
So a couple things of good news. Darcy Petialli, the place. We did get the 501c3. We just heard that a couple months early that we do have that now.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We got our website up and running last week. We are ready to start advertising classes and, you know, community outreach. I contacted several firms about mandatory earthquake retrofitting. There isn't any in San Luis County,
So that's, as I understood it, that's a non-issue right now. And that is our proposal, is to strip to the north of the building B parking. I don't know if it's feasible to just make a ramp so that people can get in there and pave it when we can. I don't know if that's, you know, even a possibility. But I have people, Chinese gentleman is supposed to come and start making work here in November. I'm going to go to China and he's going to come back with me. And then as soon as we can figure out the logistics of paying online and sign-ups for the workshops, we'll get that up and running.
Sounds like you're making progress.
Any questions for me?
Any questions?
No. They're workshops. Tell me about what are they going to be for?
Well, we're just finding out. Oh, and we just put a nursery in about a month ago, and that's everything's going really well. We're anticipating coming into winter and trying to understand or brace for that, you know, with our plants and the income that we're kind of bringing in now has been a nice positive change. But again, winter is going to be a big downturn, I suspect. We're getting a lot of traffic of people just coming on one, just driving by and saying that, you know, they wanted to stop. And I think if we had that whole corner, I think it could really be, you know, something great for Oceano. What did you ask me?
You said you're going to have workshops.
Okay.
Like painting, artists?
Well, I have a master's in art, so to get that, you have to do everything. So we can teach welding, plasma cutting, lamp making, paper making, all things ceramic. We've got a lumber mill there. We want to have one of our participants has a lathe. He's looking into buying a bandsaw. Just anything someone already has a skill for, if we can figure out how to, and the nursery alone offers a whole lot of different sort of things to do with plants and painting. Some of you probably heard of the painting things they do where they come for an hour. Mm-hmm. They offer them a glass of wine. It's like date night or something. And I think those are already established as really big. They might already be going out as far as in fashion. I don't know about that. But just anything that one of our people does some Latvian egg painting or something.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So it's just really
mosaics.
Who's who of what kind of different things.
Yeah.
And I think when we get the artists coming from different countries, I think that would be a great draw, and we could utilize them as one of the first ones is from Italy, and she's a muralist. So I think she could do some really exciting murals around here that could also, you know, say we're here and these things are, you know, happening.
We got an empty wall anywhere? Huh?
Do we have one right behind you.
Plenty.
Plenty, yes. Anyway, so do we need to take some kind of action tonight, don't we, just to direct?
Yeah, let's...
I got public comment first,
public comment, and then
yeah.
I can... I'm going to step aside.
You done?
What did I just think? Oh, going to the... We're waiting for some sort of response from you, and then we want to go to the county planning and find out. That was what Pablo was saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find out what it takes, because we're trying to find out if there are non-starters. I talked to people and they said retrofitting can be 50,000, a million. You know, it just depends on how much you have to have. That would have been a non-starter, but because that's not mandatory. And then if we find out about permits and they need a huge amount of work to be completed or something like that, then the thing is just, you know, off the table at that point. But we do have donors that are really excited to see this thing go forward. Mm-hmm. And we are excited to start fundraising and different things to see what we can come up with.
Yeah.
And we have plenty of things we can spend money on the other side of the road, but it would be really, really nice to fix up that firehouse.
Yes, it would. Thank you. Public comment, anyone else like to speak? Yes.
Cynthia Replogle, Oceana Beach Community Association. We are very supportive of the place's plans, proposed plans for the old firehouse. We think it would be a big asset to the community. Several of us met with him a few weeks ago, and he told us what he envisions there. One thing he didn't mention was in the little yard off to the side, having a children's garden. And then there could be classes, art classes for children as well. So I think also if he gets a little coffee bar in there, something that he was talking about, that's something that we definitely need here in Oceano. So it could be a really good gathering spot for the community, and we hope that it can move forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I love the idea of the place, and I think anything that brings commerce, culture, and art to Oceano is a great thing, and it could be just the beginning for Oceano. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, let's see if we can hammer out some.
So, Madam President, just real quick, you know, I always, in my capacity here as the general manager, have to make sure to throw out some words of caution. You know, the issue of whether an earthquake retrofit would be required, my concerns about code requirements is specifically to what's considered an essential public facility. So we have code requirements associated with privately owned buildings, and we have seen historically how agencies that are encouraging earthquake retrofits will sometimes extend deadlines and those kind of things, and it can very much differ on an agency-by-agency basis. When it comes to essential public facilities, then it goes back to some other rules, and the reason why I mention this is because in our efforts to get a permit for the generator, the emergency generator, which would not be attached to any of our existing facilities, county planning has deemed that that emergency generator itself is an essential public facility. And what its response or the result is that our geotechnical engineer and our electrical engineer have had to do additional work in order to meet the county permitting requirements. So it would be premature for me to say that the old firehouse would be defined as an essential public facility, and it would be premature for me to say that if it is, then an earthquake retrofit would be required. But it's still well within sort of the reason or logic to know that there are different code requirements for essential public facilities, and that's the type of detail that really needs to be addressed with county planning. Certainly, Darcy has gone out there and done some good communications overall. But as we all know, statutes and codes have a lot of details associated with them. And so that's one of the points that we would have to follow up with on county planning. In terms of sort of a stated recommendation, the recommended action at this point would be simply to direct staff to develop a feasibility agreement with the place on PCH and to coordinate with the county of San Luis Obispo as appropriate.
Yeah. Do you want a motion?
Yeah, if that was satisfactory, any board member could say that they so move.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Being that's the old fire department building, is there any connection with the Five Cities Fire Authority with that? It's actually Oceano property, right?
It is Oceano property. It's not part of our obligation, because our obligation is to provide this fire station.
Okay.
We need to be coordinating because there's two antique fire engines that are within the structure currently. Mm-hmm. My understanding is one came from the city of Grover and the other one was from Oceano, so we'll have to work with the fire guys.
They were out there. I just didn't know what to put.
Yeah, and if they're moved, we're going to have to make sure that they're protected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those are probably the smaller challenges.
Are they part of individuals? Or are they owned by individuals? Are they owned by the Five Cities Fire Authority?
They, as far as I can tell, they were not transferred to the Five Cities Fire Authority. Whether possession is 9/10 of the law would mean that we own them both. We can try to do some research with the state of California, the Department of Motor Vehicles, regarding if there is any title ownership to it. That might be difficult to determine.
Well, Oceana belongs to the Fire Association, right?
Yeah, because I know I need a donation.
Yeah.
So Oceana belongs to Oceana.
Belongs to the Ocean.
Yeah, it'd be hard for me to draw a conclusion, but. Oh, yes. Look, there he is.
Thank you.
Someone who's going to have more background knowledge than I do, that's for sure.
As far as the Oceana.
Identify yourself, please. Identify
John
yourself.
John Bova, Five Cities Fire. I'm on duty here today. Not here at the meeting, really. As far as my knowledge is with the fire engine that came from the Oceano Fire Department, we tried to track the ownership of that, and I don't think we ever got to the bottom of it. I don't know that it ever got transferred to the Oceano Firefighters Association, is what we tried to do years ago. I believe it could still be owned by the OCSD. And on the subject of the old fire station, since I'm up here, about 20 years ago, or a little more than 20 years ago, it was retrofitted. It was seismically retrofitted, and I don't know to what level that it was done, but it's evident. I mean, if you see it, that's why the one with the roll-up doors is fixed, the panel there. There's diagonals with bolts in the bricks. That was all done, probably 97. As far as the fire engine, I'm not sure.
And then isn't there a second fire engine in there?
That's Grover Beach's.
And that's pretty
confusing. I don't know the ownership of that one either.
Well, and I think the key there is just working with the firefighter associations and the cities in order to figure out, you know, what's the best thing to do with those engines.
I thought that one was belonged to the fire association. You guys, not the...
We have to. We'll have to track down the certificate of ownership on that.
Yeah,
I would, because I think that's important.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you much. Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion that we authorize. Well, I'll just make the motion that we authorize our administrative staff to draft a feasibility agreement with the place on PCH and provide direction and whatever else needs to be done at this time to move this project forward.
Including coordination with the County of San Luis Obispo?
Yes, sir. Including coordination with the County of San Luis Obispo. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Carries 3.5-0. Moving on. 9C, consideration of a recommendation to approve a revised utility location agreement with the County of San Luis Obispo relating to the county's Highway 1 drainage project and payment of a deposit in the amount of $109,868.
Madam President, members of the board, I'll start with the question that President White had earlier, and that's regarding the timing of the county's drainage project with what appears to be Caltrans's upcoming efforts to do a Highway 1 repaving project. And I can certainly follow up with the county as to the coordination. But based on the general schedule right now, where the county is looking at rebidding the drainage project this fall, and in the attached reimbursement agreement between the district and the county, they are looking for us to have our relocation work done by December 31st, 2018, if we do it independent from their county contractor, which means that they are really looking at doing their drainage project in early 2019. And so their ability to coordinate with Caltrans would be seemingly very good, especially if Caltrans is going to be doing an extensive stretch of Highway 1. Then they clearly, even if the Caltrans wanted to get going in early 2019, they would not need to do the stretch of highway where the drainage project is going to impact the existing. So as long as the county can get their funding together and get their, you know, get a bid from the contractor within their funding, it would seem to me that they would be able to get all their work done before Caltrans comes in, repaves Highway 1. With respect to the attached agreement, I have both the red line strikeout version, which is the comparison of what your board adopted in January of 2017. Subsequent to its adoption, the county did go out to bid. The bids were in excess of their available funding, so they had to reject all bids. And that's why the agreement is back on the agenda with revised dates, because the county, again, plans on moving forward. So the clean version is simply the modification of the dates, and this go around, hopefully there's going to be better bids.
It's just the dates. That's the only thing I saw.
Yeah, that's all we changed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's changing the dates, so it's pretty.
Why would they start a drainage program in the middle of the rainy season?
So, again, they're going to go and get all their bids and get the contractors lined up. They won't do the work until spring 2019. Spring. Yeah.
Okay.
Have a motion?
Public comment?
Oh, public comment. I forgot. Public comment? Seeing no one come forward, do we entertain a motion?
I move that we approve the revised utility relocation agreement with the County of San Luis Obispo.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
And authorize the deposit payment? Is that be part of the?
Well, let's go ahead and take them as two different actions.
Okay. Do we need roll call?
So my motion is to consider the recommendation to approve a revised utility relocation agreement with the County of San Luis Obispo relating to the county's Highway 1 drainage project.
Seconded. Roll call vote.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Link?
Yes.
And I'd like to also move that we authorize a deposit payment required in by Section D1 in the amount of $109,868.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Link?
Yes.
And so, on a clarification on that second recommendation, is Section D1 provides us that we have to make the deposit, you know, within 7 days of a demand by the county, and so that's why we ask for the pre-authorization. And,
Okay. Moving on to 9D, consideration of a recommendation to approve a professional service agreement with GSI Water Solutions, Inc. to prepare the 2018 annual report for the Northern Cities Management Area in the amount of $37,591 plus contingency of $3,370 for a total contract amount of $40,961.
So, Madam President, members of the board, this agreement is in front of you again. It's the second year of essentially a five-year program. The district, along with Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Pismo Beach, we went out for an RFP last year and selected GSI. And the idea was it was going to be for a five-year term, and then we would do an RFP at the end of the 5 years. So this is the second year in a five-year term. The scope of work is pretty consistent with the prior years. The cost increase is about 5% on the base contract. And what we're seeing in terms of CPI, Consumer Price Index, increases is a little bit more than 3, about 3.5% for last year. And the 5% that they're asking for is that, as your board is aware, the motions and the filings and the activities associated with the stipulations and final judgment, the groundwater litigation has been picking up. And as a result, GSI gets a lot more of the, you know, more questions about their work. And they have more follow-up that they have to do. As the litigation environment has increased, you know, they are, the basic scope of work is the same, but they're having to respond to more questions. And so the 5% increase in fees in light of that is a reasonable increase And when we're also seeing CPI, consumer price index increases of about 3.5%. So roughly 1.5% reflects the higher level of questioning that they're responding to.
Comment?
No, I think everything's...
Don't have too much choice, do we?
No, it's required.
No, that's right. The preparation of the annual report is a requirement through the stipulations and the judgment. So.
Yeah. Public comment on this item? Seeing none. Roll call. First, I got to get a motion.
Yep. Approval of.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion to approve item 9D. For the GSI Water Incorporated to prepare the 2018 annual report for Northern Cities Management in the amount of total contract $40,961.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Director Angel?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
President Wynn?
Yes. Moving on. To item 10, hearing items. I do not believe we have any, do we? 11, received written communications. 12, late written communications. Do we have any, Mr. Manager?
Well, I didn't quite catch up on all my emails, so none that I'm aware of.
Okay, future agenda. Do you have anything?
Nope.
I have a question, which I probably shouldn't bring up, but I'm going to, because I haven't talked to any. It came up Monday at Oceano Advisory that the nexus for the county's requirement for curb gutters and sidewalks came from the Oceano Community Service District action about.
Well, I remember when it happened. It was in the late 80s, I think.
In the late 80s. And Ms. Compton said that the indication is that there are different requirements for curbs, gutters, and sidewalks in Oceano than there is in Napomo. And I know from talking to people that curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, the requirement that curbs, gutters, and sidewalks be built in all cases has impacted the growth of Oceano. In some cases where they couldn't build because they couldn't afford to. And I just wonder if that was something that in any reason needed to be revisited. And I know you have lots and lots of things to do. But when all of those are done, if you want something to do.
Would it please you if I were to respond that we are already revisiting it?
It would please me muchly.
Yeah. So this is kind of a reminder, and I get...
From our own water yard.
Well, yes, and also the low-impact development. So under the Water Resource Reliability Program, where we received, trying to remember what the total grant, $198,000 in that grant funding.
Yeah.
The three different components. The biggest component was to help with the evaluation of our deferred infrastructure, our antiquated pipelines. The second component is recharge opportunities. They might work with the Central Coast Blue, the Recycle Water Project. And the third is the low-impact development evaluation. And so the LID is really specifically targeted on the county's 2004 drainage study. And the 2004 drainage study predated some of the standards associated with low-impact development. And basically, low-impact development is how do we capture the water, recharge it back into the groundwater basin. It's not the traditional facilities of get it out to the ocean real quick. And in low-impact development, design options can include no curb, gutter, and sidewalk. You know, there's alternative designs. And yeah. So specifically in that scope of work includes recommendations on the county's 2004 master drainage study. I think that it's important so that we will have that as a future agenda item.
Okay.
I think it's important to recognize that Oceano is more of an urban setting definitely different than many parts of the Mesa. And so there's distinguishing between the natural characteristics of the two communities. I think that when we get into the more of the urbanized setting up on the Mesa, the expectation of curb, gutter, and sidewalk is probably as great as it is here in Oceano. But certainly the county does look at it in differently for the different communities based on, is it an urban setting, is it a rural setting, what are we looking at there? So we do have that as part of the current work program in the Water Resource Reliability Program, and that's really a good example of a work effort where there's overlapping jurisdiction because, you know, clearly the county has the drainage and the flood control jurisdiction, but the district has water resource responsibilities, and so these low-impact development concepts really could be implemented under a drainage power or they can be implemented under a water resource power. And hopefully, again, as we move forward, we'll see coordination between the district and the county on some of these concepts.
Thank you. You were already 10 steps ahead of me.
Maybe one on that one, not 10.
Anything else on future agenda?
Well, we have our, might as well announce it one more time. Thursday, August 2nd is the special meeting at 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
I move that we adjourn.
Meeting adjourned.
I'm going to have to go and do the dishes.
You didn't tell me you had to get going.